This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports. You are listening to the Unused Substitute. Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everyone. This is, it's Wednesday night, which I think is going to be our new night, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. This is Matt, and Dan, I think you're still there?
I hope so.
You haven't been sucked into MSNBC yet?
I've been following along on Twitter. Rachel Maddow is doing her thing, but I just realized my blinds are open, and this is creepy.
Oh, geez. We are the Unused Substitutes. This is on Radio St. Pete, actually a night after we're actually recording it, so it's gonna, you can just close your eyes and pretend it's live. They're in the process of getting things fixed, and we will get things fixed at some point, or they will get things fixed. It's, for once, it's not us. This is not Sudol's fault. He didn't, like, walk in and kick over the plug.
It's always Sudol's fault. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah. Maybe we need to sub Neil Collins in for him then.
I think we need to sub Neil Collins in for everything. Like,
both
people
of
talk
us
about wanting Morgan Freeman to narrate lives. I want Neil Collins to narrate my life.
Ender.
Because, you know, Ender. Quite like his accent, my life is a complete mess too. We'd go hand in hand. Nobody would understand.
I'd love it. Just think how many listens we would get because people have to go back and hear it three or four times to try and figure out what he was saying.
Exactly. So,
God, we could start selling
first
ads.
Of all, we need to get Neil on the show so we can have a good grand old time with him and maybe
definitely
get a translator.
Which is just a slightly less intoxicated Scotsman.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I used to be able to translate my grandfather, but his was part Scottish with Canadian, so it was slowed down enough that I could make out every third word at least.
Let me see. No, I only work with the Welshman, and he's easily understood.
Well, yeah, because the like speed you have to go at to get all those consonants out is, especially with the W's and everything.
I mean, I knew like he was Welsh, obviously, for many, many years, but there's nothing like the experience of being hungover at 9 o'clock in the morning, walking by the office and hearing somebody speak Welsh on a telephone.
You thought you were still drunk at that point.
I thought I was drunk. I thought he was like performing an exorcism. I didn't know what was happening. It was interesting.
So speaking of drunk, since we're kind of taking it back old school and then recording it before we post it, we also went back and at least for tonight have brought back the beers of the episode. And we posted on Twitter, and what are you drinking tonight? Let's advertise our intoxicants.
Big Storm Brewing's IPA Arcus from Tampa Bay, Florida, local. I mean, Big Storm has a tasting room right up the road, about 10 minutes up the road from me. I figured I'd keep it local tonight.
They opened one up in St. Pete now too, didn't they?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I haven't been in there yet. I don't need to go in there. I think that's one of the ones you can get at the stadium. I know there's like three or four different Big Storm beers mm-hmm. they have in Kansas Stadium. I had I think it was just Florida Ale or something like that. It was something with hibiscus and cinnamon. It was actually pretty good.
I am definitely a fan of Big Storm because I live in BFE and there's nobody really around. I haven't been to the tap room because I don't feel like I should go by myself and drink by myself. But I do see people on Twitter. So maybe I'll stalk like Derek Sharp or somebody and meet them up there.
There you go. Oh, God, people are tweeting out like the Al Capone's vaults, which is probably before your time, but was rather...
with Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah.
I remember that. Come on now.
Kind of one of the... I remember that. That was fun. Yeah. Anyway, I went, you went local. I went semi cross country. I was in Publix the other day picking up a few things and I saw their little beer end cap and they had, and I posted a picture of it a few minutes ago, New Belgium and Ben and Jerry's collaboration, chocolate chip cookie dough ale. And I have not tried it yet. I've opened it, I've let it breathe. If, you know, maybe that's the thing you're supposed to do, we'll pretend. I'm going to try this now on air, and you will get an authentic reaction to what this actually is.
I really hope this is a spit take.
Oh, now it actually starts to smell more like cookie dough. Like I said before, it didn't smell anything like it. Now it does. All right, ready? Here we go. Oh, wow. Remember how you were saying you wouldn't buy a six-pack of that? And I was like, maybe if it was really good.
You're going to buy a six-pack of it?
I don't think I'd buy a six-pack. Like, if I bought a six-pack, it would be to, like, give four to other people. But I would definitely keep at least two for myself.
I don't know if that's a ringing endorsement. I don't know if I could ever. Anyway, okay, so add to the list of podcasts. We have this one. We need a history one, and we need a beer one.
And the beer one. And then the MST3K where we heckle games.
Yeah.
So
this is what happens when we don't really have content, right? Like,
I'm just going to quit my day job and go to this.
Although, considering the veterinarian bill I got today,
I'm not quitting the day job.
Yeah, I'm going to quit my day job. Screw it. I don't have anybody to support me, so I don't know.
This is not bad. I'm actually going to have another sip here real quick. Man, I mean, you know how some of those like kind of funky beers like this, like it's you get they kind of overload it with the whatever they put in it to create the flavor that you get like that first, and then like the beer taste kind of comes in at the end, and
yeah,
depending on what you're drinking, maybe it kind of ruins the experience. But like this one, the beer taste hits you up front, and then the chocolate chip cookie dough kind of kicks in on the backside.
That's pretty good.
I'll take that.
I'll never forget. When we went to Hunapu Day and they had that like maple bacon coffee porter or
yes.
whatever. And that was probably my favorite beer I've ever put in my mouth.
With they had the little like marshmallow and the piece of bacon in it.
Yeah. Like that was seriously probably the best beer I've ever put in my mouth and I want more of it.
That's a fantastic thing. That's from Funky Buddha, which I've been to their place before. Once when we went to a Strikers game, when the Strikers were still a thing.
Who?
Yep. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
I feel bad because I see like Flight 19 like very angrily tweeting. And
did you see that tweet today? Like the graphic they put out there?
No, I meant to look because I saw Steve from the Soccer Tour, which if you haven't checked out, you should check out on Twitter and Facebook and maybe donate some, you know, Patreon, put some money and keep that tour going. Yes, I'm plugging shamelessly for him, but because I saw his tweet and that's what brought my attention. And then, like I said earlier, I've been pretty busy today.
You know where he was, I think, yesterday. Remember the bar we hung out at in Charlotte for the Liverpool-Milan game?
Yeah.
That's where he was.
Oh.
Yeah, good hooligan, for him. Hooligan Charlotte. Yeah, so Flight 19 tweeted this out. Very well done. Kudos to those guys. Even though they're Strikers fans, we still kind of like them. Let me see if I can pull the whole graphic up. But basically, it was something like 1,134 days. Things that have happened in the 1,134 days since David Beckham and MLS announced a team, in quotes, in Miami. 131 league/cup games played by professional soccer teams in South Florida. Two postseason appearances, including a final. That would be for Fort Lauderdale. Three new clubs founded and playing in Miami. Miami Fusion FC, FC Miami City, and Miami FC. One U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal run in which two MLS teams were defeated by a local pro team. Five teams have joined MLS. Orlando, stadium done. Atlanta, stadium nearly done. LAFC, stadium under construction. Minnesota, stadium approved. NYCFC,
this is my favorite part.
Lol. I dug that too. 12 other cities who want to pay full price to join MLS, 11 of whom have and actually support an existing pro/amateur team. I guess the exception there is, San Diego?
Yeah, I believe so.
Not like it was a, not like that was shade at us or anything. They weren't fitting an anti-rowdies thing in there. And then 0 games played by Miami Beckham United, 0 shovels in the ground. The point being that if the people who have been waiting around for MLS Miami to finally show up had gotten off their couches and gone to Strikers games, they may not be in the situation they're in today.
Yeah. It's, we could talk for many, 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 many hours and beyond about supporter culture in the United States. And
we still have to do that one show we kept talking about.
Yeah, but like it comes down to American sport fans want top tier. They want the major league. Like, I have a good friend who lives in St. Pete, and will drive to Orlando. Is an Orlando City ticket holder, season ticket holder, and not the Rowdies, because he went to a few Rowdies games when it was like 2014, 2015, when it was Ricky Hill days.
Right.
So the quality gap between MLS and Ricky Hill Rowdies was a lot different than it would be, I would say, now. Stadium was crap too. You know what I mean? Like the Rowdies experience wasn't where it was today. So then Orlando got their team and that's where he went. And I get it. Like, you know, the quality was there. The experience was different. So it's just like, I get where some people in Miami are coming from, but obviously you and I specific, you know, and are the people that will probably listen to this aren't wired that way. We're local soccer. We bleed these teams and I get it. But at the same time, American sports culture is completely different than most of us.
Right. Well, and let's face it, the people who listen to this show are wired all kinds of differently to begin with. And thank God they are. but yeah, it's one of those situations where, and that's, go back to the, something I posted, I think in the DMs the other day, before Orlando became an MLS team, because people are saying, oh, you shouldn't go to Tampa Bay. They've only got 5,000 people in there. When, on the other hand, no one's saying that about St. Louis when they're, you know, I don't know what their average is, but I think it's under that. Orlando is averaging 5,200 as a USL team. Fast forward to now when they had 60-something thousand on opening day.
That was opening day last year. This year, it's only like, what, 18-20? Somewhere around there.
I'm not sure, but I mean, they're still pulling big numbers, and they've got that new stadium now. I don't know what the capacity it is, but there's obviously a difference. And then you go to Atlanta, who, you know, next to no one went to Silverbacks games for years, and then they put 55,000 in a college football stadium for Atlanta United. So that alone shows you the difference, you know, in the idea of American sport culture. Now, are they going to get 55,000 every week? Probably not. For a percentage of them, it's going to be an event. This was cool. We did a thing. We went there. At that point, it becomes the job of the club and to the supporters, even to an extent, to make it something that they want to come back to.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. Side note, Orlando City's new stadium is 25,500 capacity, which for a soccer stadium is about right. Like, that should be.
Right.
I mean, if we go MLS, ours will be 18,000, but that fits our market. I think that's completely, totally makes sense. But you're right. American sports fans, again, are the casual fan, love an event, an inaugural season, a stadium open, they go. Then it's up to the team to build such a game day experience that people want to come back to. And we keep beating the dead horse of the Tampa Bay Rays without a game day experience. And then you have the Tampa Bay Lightning across the bay, who have probably one of the best game day experiences in American sports. And I think a lot of places have rated them so. And it shows. I mean, I love going to Lightning games. I love the sport. I love the environment. I love every, like, I just love Lightning games. And the Rowdies are building something where I enjoy going to the games for different, many different reasons. But the right. game day experience does factor in highly to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. You kind of look at it, we talked about, you mentioned a little while ago about the Ricky Hill days versus today. And it's kind of funny because we've gone from a dire stadium situation in reality once we found out everything that was going on like inside that stadium and what it didn't have and what the team couldn't do there. And that's still, you know, the stadium and the year that they won a championship versus not having been in the playoffs since then. But everything overall, I think, is an improvement. I mean, the team is much better on the field. I think that team, the team we have now, could beat the team we had back then.
Handedly.
Well, I mean, then again, our inability to score goals plus the job Jeff and Antonella did, it could be close. I don't know. We have to wait and see. It'd be an interesting mental exercise there to figure out. But I think we would. I think the new modern Rowdies would win over the old modern Rowdies.
The weird. What's like the word I'm looking for here? The weird paradox here is Stuart Campbell.
Yeah, true.
Since championship Rowdies
played for one, coaches the other.
Yeah. So how does that work? Oh, no.
Okay, that's the seventh podcast.
Oh, God.
The Stuart Campbell space-time continuum.
Can we just now start like a web series of like bad Photoshops of Stuart Campbell in time?
Oh, God. Stuart Campbell all sepia-toned in Wild West pictures or something like that.
Yeah, like let's just start photoshopping Stuart Campbell in random places. Can we? You know how they have like Flat Stanley? Can we make like Flat Stu? And then
we should
bring him to like the Ren Fair and put him in like the TARDIS and put him in.
I like it. I like it. We should do this.
I think so too.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
I also want now, Molly. I know you listen to this. I want, you know how Disney has hidden Mickeys? I want hidden Stews.
Hidden Stewies, yes. She's got to start putting them in some of the graphics
and stuff. I want hidden Stewards.
I want to be in line at the concession stand to get a Big Storm Brewing beer, and all of a sudden the swirling graphics on the front of the register, there's like a hidden Stew in it.
Yeah, like, and maybe we can get Ben to like mow a hidden Stew somewhere in the grass or something. Like, I want this to be a new thing. I want Hidden Stewards to be a thing.
Next year for the Grand Prix, instead of MLS to St. Pete's, that'll already be decided by then, just giant stew in the turf.
Yes. Oh, God, that's going to be my new hashtag is Hidden Stew, and nobody's going to know what we're talking about for like a day.
That's another good reason to hold the episode back a day is just we can just start tweeting stuff that people will not understand at all.
Yeah. That's gonna be fun because I'm just gonna start hashtags on Tuesday nights, and then we can post them for like 24 hours before anybody can listen, and then we'll just stop.
Maybe this will actually like generate listeners.
Maybe we can start. You know, this is perfect.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of fun to sit here, watch Twitter, like, and kind of interact with what's going on, and then realize none of you are actually able to hear this for another day or two.
Yeah, let's answer your question, person that just tweeted us that we don't know that. You know, anything, anyway, I forgot where I was going.
But yeah, so we are, as you you hinted at there, we are going to basically do an AMA episode. Because there's even as close as we are to the season, like everything happens next week. We've got the season kickoff party. We've got the first home game coming up. We still have one more. It looks like actually Steve is at that bar tonight in Charlotte. Anyway, I told him to look and see if that Rowdy scarf was still there that we found there that time we went.
I don't even remember going.
I
feel like that's a whole different world.
Yeah, well, it was. So we're going to run through some questions. But before, because there's really nothing going on this week. There was a preseason game against Jacksonville last week that we'll talk about for a minute or two. There's a preseason game this weekend down in Miami. And then it's almost like the Big Bang, where just everything just springs into being all of a sudden. And we have a soccer season, which is kind of fun. So like we said, the Jacksonville game. Rowdies went up and played in, I don't know, I didn't bother looking this up on Google, but some place called Patton Park, and I kind of just pictured it as being like, just a part of the city Parks and Recreation Department. Like they're playing.
Yeah, where like Will Ferrell gets made to eat like a white turd.
I don't get that reference.
Well, it's...
Finally, I don't get one. Usually it's you.
It's Step Brothers.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that.
You are missing out on one of the greatest movies of our generation.
Yeah, have you watched any of the movies I told you to watch yet?
No, God, no.
Okay.
Dude, well, when you do, I spent the weekend in like my underwear drinking beer watching stand-up on Netflix.
So basically, my next week is a month spring break.
Yeah, I have to actually work.
Although I actually have stuff I got to be doing most of the days. All right, so yeah, looking at the starting lineups, Other than Akira Fitzgerald in the goal and Martin Patterson starting up top and no Joe Cole, Marcel Schaefer still has not joined the team yet. Other than those couple differences, not too dissimilar from what an opening day lineup might be. Jacksonville's, I have no idea if that's representative of what their opening day lineup might be. I did see some familiar names, mostly people who had been with other clubs before. I think they had a guy from Minnesota that was on there, Pitch Colon.
I believe so, yeah. Which reminds me of, like, side note before we're getting in here, but I don't know because, I mean, obviously we've kept the majority of the same roster and whatnot, but doesn't it feel like NASL is way more incestual with transfers and player signings than USL? I mean, we're new to USL and I haven't paid too much attention, but I feel like NASL, it's just same retread cycling through teams. And yeah. Then like USL doesn't feel that way.
For as much as some people want to call USL the, like, you know, little brother or baby brother for MLS, like some of the roster practices, like you could look at NASL and say that really seems, you know, other than like the Cosmos, who seem to go in and bring people in from mostly out of the league, the exception of, like, you know, the occasional Juan Guerra and stuff like that. It seems like a lot of the teams just recycle players as if they were a single entity owned league.
Yeah, I mean, I believe San Antonio has quite a few former strikers.
I know.
But on the same token, like, Fort Antonio. I just feel like... What?
I'm just going to start calling him Fort Antonio.
Yeah, that works. I mean, they pretty much are, like, you know, without the good parts. But I just always had that feeling, and I hated NASL offseason because it just kind of always felt like cycling through, and this guy went here, then this one moved to this team because it was just very odd.
Yeah, so I don't know. Jacksonville wins 1-0 off with, I think, a late first half goal, which apparently was pretty exciting to them because, as the Jacksonville website pointed out in their article, this is the third straight victory for Jacksonville over the Rowdies and the first since the Rowdies moved to USL. And the all-time record now stands at, it was like 3-2-2, in an article where they couldn't be bothered to list the starting rosters for either team. So I don't know if it's supposed to be an important or an impressive feat or not that you won a preseason game.
Where our striker was playing attacking mid was not at the match and, or on the bench or whatever. And, we had trialists playing, but, you know, count that as a win, Jacksonville. You still own us.
Well, does that mean we have to give them the cup? Nah.
I'm pretty sure without this, you sent me the article or whatever, and without this preseason win, the series is 2-2-2.
Right.
Pretty much dead even.
For games in actual competitions.
Yeah, they don't own us, but no. Whatever, Duval, have fun with that.
Whatever, enjoy being part of Georgia. So going ahead, looking at this week, they're traveling down to Miami on Saturday. I'll just put in the plug here again. That's my birthday, and I'm happy that it is because we're going to have fun. They're going down to Miami. It's going to be the last preseason game for us and for them before the two respective leagues start the next weekend. What do you expect to see? Do you expect to see as close to a starting lineup as possible, or do we not play the probable starters to avoid an injury, or what?
I would expect, I wouldn't say, I would probably, Stewart, I don't think he ever played a full, the full starting 11 together in preseason last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if you do like the entire starting defensive unit, including the midfielders, in one half, and then like the starter offensive unit in the second half, or vice versa, whatever. Or you just, because I think now preseason really is just at this point for minutes, right? Like fitness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just try to trot everybody out and get them into match fitness, which I'm pretty sure they all are, which I keep saying which. Side note on that is, remember in years, the last 2 years, they always did the videos of them running and doing these crazy, like, off-season weightlifting and, like, you know, things. That didn't happen this year.
Yeah, we haven't seen the stuff. Well, I remember we all thought, oh, this is cool. They've partnered up with this like performance sports performance facility, and they're spending all this time working on fitness and stamina. And then like, you know, 3 games in, everyone's hurt. I'm not a a physician or any other kind of medical professional. Seems to be there could be a link there, but yeah, they don't seem to have been doing. They seem to, and remember the first year when Rangan was here, at least the first month, they didn't do anything with the ball. He told us it was all strictly stamina and exercise and weightlifting and stuff like that. Whereas with Stu, it seems like he blows the whistle and the ball's out there the first day.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's because we had the Florida Cup, so you could ease people in or whatnot. But and it was a rather short turnaround, wasn't it? Because
it was really short because of the Florida Cup. Yeah, because they started practice, I want to say a couple days after Christmas, and then the first Florida Cup game was what, like mid January.
Yeah, so maybe that's it, or whatever. But when there's no off season, you don't really have to worry about coming back and trying to get into shape with no off season,
right?
I mean, that's fine. Florida Cup, I know we played mostly trialists and whatnot, but I would expect a fun game. I mean, it's not like we're going to be able to watch it anyway, or like I don't know if I would even watch it if I could, to be fair. It's preseason. As we said last week, it means nothing and it means everything, but you can take it. Apparently in Jacksonville, it means everything.
For a second there, when you were saying it, you started off with, I would expect, and it really sounded like you were going to do your Brian Clough impression where he's... from the movie before he goes over to Leeds for the first practice. He says, I would expect a certain, and I forget what the word is, but something about, you know, like breaking in a new pair of shoes or something. Like you even had almost the accent going too.
Funny story is last year's UT preseason game, I lent Mike my two Brian Clough biographies.
Right.
This year at the UT game, he was finally going to return them, but then I got taken out of the, I ended up leaving early, well, right at the end of the game and couldn't meet up with him. So I still don't have those back, which is not his fault. He did bring them and we just couldn't meet up. So hopefully he said he was going to burn them. And I would really hope he doesn't do that because I like those books.
Just make sure they're out of arm's reach in case Arsenal plays Bayern again sometime this week.
Don't worry, that's not going to happen. The fact that Leicester City is in that last is like in the semis or whatever, and no other English team is mind blowing to me.
Well, I saw, I think it was Bleacher Report or someone retweeted it into my timeline. Leicester City has now progressed farther in 1 year than Arsenal has in the last 7.
Yeah, like, and they were just, they were in the championship not very long ago.
Right. Now, you know the comeback and we're just setting ourselves up for at some point.
What? Where it's Liverpool?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, okay. We won it, you know, not so long ago. I know it's been forever ago. But still, we're still better than Arsenal. Screw off.
Oh, very nice. All right, so anything else to say about this weekend?
No, because I really don't. It's the last weekend. It's the last week. Let's just, I am at that point where I care zero about preseason. I'm done speculating. I'm pretty sure the roster is right where it's about to be. I just want to see regular season rowdy soccer and have meaningful things to talk about.
Right. So going on from that, we kind of just put it out there today. Just, you know, send us a bunch of questions. And like now I just scrolled down to find where the replies started. And there's actually like a ton more than I even thought there was. So that's pretty cool. So you want to jump into that or anything else you want to
do? Yeah, let's go to the mailbag and let's get this show on the road.
All right. So first two questions come from Tom Denham on Twitter. I guess all these are going to come from Twitter, basically. First question, with us having 5 of 6 home games. Oh, no, it's a 2-part tweet to one question. Got it. With us having 5 of 6 home games to start the season should be a good thing. But last spring, we got 2 wins out of our first 5 home games in weeks 8 and 9. What's different to capitalize on this scenario? So what makes this different? What makes it different this time around? What gives us hope that we're going to get out of the gate faster than we did before?
I think looking at our schedule and comparing it to last year is first off, I think we're better than most USL teams. There was questions going into last year, going into our viability of against NASL squads, and we had a pretty, I do remember us being at home, and I, if I recall correctly, it was a pretty rough go though at the beginning of the season, and Stewart just took over the, you know, pretty much had his first team, blah, blah, blah. There's many factors. This is Stewart, this is officially, I would say, Stewart's team 100%. I think we said that last year, but this, right. We're stronger. I think the only weird part will be Marcel filling it, slotting it into the M spot. But I think we're better than what Orlando City B. Let me get the schedule back up here. Toronto FC 2, and I think Ottawa might be the only question mark on whether or not, like, because they know us at this point, we know them. That might be the only, like, quote-unquote stalemate. Charleston Battery, I think we're better than. And Richmond Kickers, I don't know too much about them, but I wouldn't. Oh, this is the home schedule. Maybe that would be. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, well, our first road game is going to be the 15th against, I think it's the 15th, against Louisville.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's probably one of, and that's probably the better of the, here we go. So, yeah, we don't, the first three, Louisville, and then we play Charleston, and then Kickers. Cincinnati, I mean, we played FC Cincinnati here, and this is my metric. FC Cincinnati was held as a kind of benchmark, I might be wrong, but a kind of benchmark not only for attendance, but performance and whatnot last year in USL, right?
Mm-hmm.
We beat them pretty handedly, even though it was only 1-0. We controlled that Open Cup game with our scrubs here.
Yeah, and that being like the third game in 9 days or something like that.
Yeah, and I say scrubs, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, our bench players, our depth, right. They're not, I mean, last year, this year, we really didn't have scrubs. We had our, you know, our B squad that could fill in for the starting 11, and it often did, because you never had really a set starting 11, and they handled them. So, looking at the rest of USL, I don't know if they got any better. Maybe what Phoenix Rising has a pretty solid roster.
Yeah, and we wouldn't face them till the playoffs anyway. So
right, I think really Ottawa is the only question mark because Paul Dalglish knows us, he and whatnot. But that's the only one. I think with 3 out of the first 5 matches, I mean, what you can even move that to what that's 5. You know, over it's over half our first 10 games. Like, six out of the first 10, something like that.
Yeah. Right.
No, maybe it is 50-50. I can't count. But it's we should start off with a pretty strong record to go off of. I mean, we've heard things that Orlando City B is not very good. Toronto might be a thing, might be okay, but I they're just youth. I think our experience and the talent there would be on our end, should dominate them. So I don't know. I don't see us going through the same way unless we still can't find the back of the net. But Deshaun Brown changes that for me.
I mean, that's, let's just go back and compare. If we're going to talk about first five, first couple batch of games, we're opening at home to Orlando City B, whereas last year we played Indy 11. Our second game last year, we went on the road to Miami, who wasn't as good then as they turned out to be, but was a pretty good team, and this time we're going to host Toronto 2. Third game, we hosted Edmonton, who turned out to be a really good team, and we beat them. This year we have our third game, Ottawa Fury, who... Yeah, there you've got, you know, some familiarity at least, but they also are now Montreal's like affiliate. So you're going to have some guys on that roster and probably some guys on that field who are like MLS reserve level. So it's hard to gauge, you know, how that's going to be. Our fourth game, we go to Louisville. That's going to be probably the first big test to me, in my opinion. Last year it was we hosted Carolina and lost that one of several losses to Carolina that left a bad taste in my mouth. Something that the chocolate chip cookie dough ale is not doing, leaving a bad taste in my mouth. The week after that we went to Fort Lauderdale, and this year the comparable game would be on the road to Cincinnati. I don't know if Cincinnati is our new Fort Lauderdale, where it's kind of a, you know, similar club, similar expectations, or another one of those teams trying to get into MLS. They've got very strong support, but they're in a little bit of a transition right now too, after firing their head coach on the eve of preseason. But they've made some good signings in the offseason, it looks like. I still can't confess to, you know, saying I know much about the USL until going through a season, probably watching these. So honestly, to me, the biggest difference is we haven't cut our talent level. We might have even improved overall with additions like Schaefer and Deshaun Brown. Definitely a more capable backup keeper situation at this point than last year, I would say. So, you know, we've kind of maintained, if not upped, our quality in certain areas, at least on paper. And on paper also, the clubs we're going to face are a different quality as well. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of it right there.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I was doing you when you said something. Side note, this is on my screen right now for what I was doing. Have you seen Deshaun Brown's photo on the Rowdy's website?
No.
It's pretty badass.
I'll have to check it out.
Let's see. So Georgie Vingard, Savage. I was about to rant because you said like we have built upon and improved last year's roster. I was about to rant about how like your 1 year plan jokes don't mean anything because
Georgie, Keith, Tam,
7, 8.
But Darnell's 9, been there a couple 10, years now.
11. Our starting 11 virtually. Like you could make an 11 of the returning players. So we've taken the core of our team last year and brought them back and added Marcel Schaefer, who's, again, 76 on FIFA, if you're wondering.
And Deshaun Brown.
Deshaun Brown, who lit up MLS, moved to Europe, was transferred for €1 million to China, and is now playing here. Just remember, here, and is going to light it up. We have Georgi Ristov, obviously. There's so much talent on this roster. I mean, I'm like, the fact that Schaefer's on here and he's like, it's home, previous club. Oh, Wolfsburg, get out of here. Like, that's nuts.
Right.
Like, it's mind blowing to me. And so we're just a more talented roster. And I don't see why this should be any sort of issue here. I think we should dominate most teams, if I'm going to be honest, but anything's possible. It's soccer. You play. I mean, Leicester City won the Premier League and are like playing against Juventus, Munich, and all of those teams in the Champions League. And yet teams like Liverpool and Arsenal and Chelsea and Manchester are not. So soccer is a funny game, and who knows, but I do think on a talent level wise, we should be like top tier.
Yeah, which kind of goes into, well, actually, no, not the next one, but the third question. So next question from David Rice on Twitter, at David J. Rice, who will like us making fun of Arsenal since he's a fellow Liverpool fan. Can we get an obligatory kit leak in the next week? Want to decide between new away kit or fresh hoops? We haven't heard anything. I honestly don't know if there is a new away kit this year.
If there is a new away kit, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. You're right. Like, we have no inside info.
At least last year someone told us, yeah, there's a new away kit. But, you know, we didn't see it or get to really understand what it was till we saw it. But, yeah, I would. I mean, we'll know, I guess, on Thursday night.
Well, at least, yeah, we'll find out there because, I don't know. I wish I knew what the kits look. If there was a new kit. I don't know. Legitimately, I know nothing.
Yeah. Let's see. Next one. Oh, he had actually had one earlier. Oh, he actually had the first question and I missed it. Let me go back because I knew there was something else in there.
For shame.
Heard something about a new version of Kick in the Grass a while back. Have we heard it? Will they unveil it at the party? The last I recall hearing about this was, I want to say, the year, either the year Edwards took over or the year after. He had, and this would be a good question to ask some of the guys from Ralph's Mob. He had some of them supposedly come over to one of his recording studios and record a new version where it was the supporters singing it as opposed to whoever sang the original version. And if I recall correctly, that's the version they use after goals. It's like the in-stadium version. And I think it's really kind of hard to just tell the difference between it and the original because once it starts going, everyone starts singing along with it. I could be completely wrong, but I think that's the case there. I haven't heard anything since then about a new version.
I know nothing. That there's certain, like, I might have even read something. Those are things I know, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but like, those are the kind of things I don't pay attention to.
See, I do. I just like little random things like that. So
that's why this team works.
Yeah,
that's because things like that pass completely under my radar, and I'll discard them.
That's why I don't know about tactics because I'm following when we're recording new theme songs. Although, and I'm going to go on a monologue about this in a minute. I've found something that's finally going to teach me some tactics, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. Next question from Madanon K, who I've met him. This is the guy I was telling you about before he came up to me at Shamrock last weekend. He's like, I just listened to the newest episode of the show, and I'm like, no one's approached me in a bar to ever say that before. Very cool. Kind of creepy.
We won't talk about what they do approach you in the bar. Never mind. Keep going.
No, that's in the bathroom.
tap your foot twice. Anyway.
Wide stance. How do we match up with Toronto 2? Final standings predictions, both conferences. Al Lang menu item taste tests. I have no idea about Toronto 2. I've not had a chance to really look over rosters or scout some of these things. You know who would have a better idea, and maybe we can get him on sometime, especially since he lives like not too far from me. Lee Godfrey.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yeah. Still has connections to the Toronto club overall and would probably have some good information. I don't know where they finished last year. I don't think they were a playoff team. As far as final standing predictions, I don't know.
I don't know enough to actually make the final standings.
Like
thing.
My personal bias would start putting the independent clubs kind of over everybody, but then you see how well, like Cincinnati, I think just qualified for the playoffs and were beaten in the first round. I want to say by Richmond or Charleston. So, and then you know it goes on to be Red Bulls 2 versus Swope Park in the final. So,
looking at last year's standings, Toronto had 26 points. 26. That's how they finished. Their goal differential was -19. To put into perspective that 26 points, New York Red Bulls 2, who won the league, who ended up winning, had 69 points.
Nice.
So I don't think Toronto FC 2 has improved at all.
Right.
I don't know much, but I don't think they did. And like, so I'm pretty sure we should be able to beat Toronto FC too.
Especially here.
Yeah. Orlando City B had 35 points. I do think for looking at the way this conference thing is here and last year's stats, and I know, again, soccer is a crazy sport. Everything can change from year to year because rosters explode and whatever. But we FC Cincinnati finished third with 56 points, mm-hmm. which is still better than anybody in the West. Sacramento won the Western Conference with 52 points. FC Cincinnati had 56 points. We dominated FC Cincinnati again in the Open Cup. They had to try. Granted, they had to travel. It was midweek, and I don't know about if that was their full strength roster. I would assume it kind of would be in a situation like that.
I think it was.
And we handled them quite easily. We scored early and then just kind of hung out.
Right.
If we can do that and we've improved, I don't think this league and this conference is going to be that difficult. And I'm sure I'm going to have to end up eating my hat or whatever, or, you know, some crow at the end. But like, I'm not saying we're going to win the Eastern Conference. I'm saying we shouldn't miss the playoffs. And honestly,
well, no, not when like 8 of 15 teams from each conference qualify. We should not.
Right. Like we seem to be able to Orlando City B had 9 wins last year. 9 wins. That's our spring season pretty much. So we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. I definitely think we're better than Toronto FC 2.
As far as standing predictions, people who know a little bit more about this because they've been involved with the USL a lot longer. There is a blog on SB Nation. It's Sacramento's blog, but they do a lot of just league-wide stuff. It's called Indomitable City Soccer. There's a guy on there, and I've talked to him because he's also one of the guys on the Eastern Conference Confidential podcast. Members like us of the Beautiful Game Network. You like how I fit that in there?
Yeah, I forgot that we were supposed to do that.
I forgot that in the beginning, so I was waiting for a good, an opportune moment. But he's got this whole formula rigged up where, you know, it includes strength of schedule as far as you know, what teams you're playing when, and has his predictions down, at least based on quality of schedule, if assuming everything else is equal, which, you know, in bits and pieces here and there, I guess it is, what the standings might be. So that would probably be, not probably, that would be infinitely better than anything we could probably come up with at this point in time. But we'll go and, you know, do some work on this during the year, or someone will.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, but that requires a lot of watching.
When my summer vacation time rolls around, then I'm in on it. I'll get some.
Yeah, that's my
done.
Busy time, which is why there's that disparity. But I'm going to try to do my due diligence.
We're a good team because you're not as busy when I am, and I'm not when you are.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to quit. I will try to do my due diligence there. Okay, next question.
Well, last thing you had, Al Lang menu item taste tests.
I don't eat.
I occasionally do. I did for like the Suncoast Invitational because we were in the stadium for 3 games. Cheeseburgers were decent. It didn't kill me. I'm a fan of hot dogs in general. I think the hot dogs are usually pretty good.
I did eat at the Suncoast Invitational. I had a burger, and the bun was weird.
Yeah. The pizza's usually pretty good. Of course, they usually give that to us free in the press box, so It could be a reason why I'm biased towards it. I enjoy free food. From Brett Rutherford at BG Rutherford on Twitter, who will be the biggest impact player this season?
I said this on Twitter a couple days ago. Is my Rowdy's lukewarm take. I believe Martin Vingard will be our impact player.
Interesting. I'm going to go ahead and say Deshaun Brown, because I think we're going to see more goals from a forward than we have in quite a while.
I can see that.
And
but
it'll at least feel like a big impact, so we're just not used to seeing that as much.
I hope everybody does. Like, legitimately. Yeah. I just hope the whole team shows it. But really, I think Martin Vingard is settled, and I think he's ready, and we're going to see the best out of him. And I think you'll see that him and Joe Cole in that midfield are going to dominate.
The Danish Viking. I think Luke Bowden's going to be a noticeable upgrade, too.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, who did we have over there before?
Rotating door of what?
Walter Ramirez, PC.
PC, Ben Sweat for a while.
Yeah, that's not hard to upgrade. No offense to any of those players. It's really not that hard to upgrade.
It's going to be an upgrade, but we're going to have, I think he's going to be the consistent guy back there. Which is
with Zach Portillo's coming on as a late injection of pace if needed.
Yeah, I could see that. Jonathan Silva at Rowdy John on Twitter. Update on Miami. What's going on down there? Welcome back to the beginning of the show. 1,134 days. It's been kind of in the news lately.
I was going to say, I'll just take my microphone to the bathroom if you want me to go over that.
Don Garber was on the so Hercules Gomez is retired now and is working for ESPN and has a podcast with another one of the ESPN guys. And they interviewed Garber yesterday and said, they asked him directly, you know, are you bothered by what's going on in Miami? He's like, I don't know if bothered's the right word. I'm frustrated. This needs to come to a conclusion one way or the other. Government officials in Miami are saying they haven't heard from Beckham in months or anybody associated with the group in months. There's a proposal to take the land that they want to buy and turn it into like affordable housing, which is definitely, knowing that area, probably a better use of the land, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm starting to get some weird vibes, like, you know, we were kind of talking about this yesterday. Has Beckham given up and he's trying to force MLS to buy it back? Does MLS want him to throw in the towel so they don't look to be the ones killing off the idea? Because he goes on and on, Garber goes on and on about how he feels confident in the market. It's not about the market. It's about having the right stadium plan, having the right ownership group. We know they were still looking for investors to put the final land deal and stadium deal together. And I kind of wonder if maybe MLS has told them their location, their plan for a stadium is not what they are wanting to see. So I don't know. Garber announced the other day that LAFC will be the only team coming in 2018. Never count anything out these days because soccer is especially weird. But it's starting to feel like it's, you know, the last stages of, you know, existence, and it's going to get the plug pulled at some point.
It needs to. I'm so sick of hearing about Beckham United. Just end it. Just end it and move on.
Yeah, and he even said, Garber even said, he's like, you know, we've got 12 teams out there that want to get in. You know, if it's not going to happen in Miami, we would love to be able to take more than four of these cities. So figure it out. We already have, so. On their part, they still claim through their PR firm that they are getting things lined up for a 2019 kickoff. Yeah, I think we could be ready in time for 2019 at this point.
Bill Edwards has stated that many, many, many times.
So, you know, Jonathan also says we should have the Mob's charity director on for a bit. Heard he's a cool guy.
No, I heard he's a jerk.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. They have a charity director? It's John.
It's John.
Still a jerk, though. all right, next one. The Rev Ty, the hockey pastor.
I don't like that guy.
No.
What does he have to say?
Which Rowdies players have the talent to be key contributors on a top MLS team? Good question, because look at, I mean, this is, you know, watching Minnesota, their first two games in MLS, they've played, you know, Christian Ramirez has played, and I don't know, I can't count how many other NASL guys have played. Ibarra hasn't gotten off the bench.
I was going to say, Christian Ramirez is
Or did Ibarra get on right at the end of the first game, I think, maybe?
Maybe.
Didn't have an impact, and they've been destroyed in their first two games. You know, we talk about the team we have now, and you talk about how we've brought you know, so many guys back over the last couple of years. It's going to be a whole different roster when, you know, for the most part, if and when we make the move. So what guys potentially do we have right now that could be a key contributor on an MLS team?
Okay. I can address this 2 years in the future because soccer is a weird game and that won't happen. But I can tell you Matt Pickens could still play MLS. Luke Bowden can still play MLS.
You mean right now?
Yes.
Or in 2 years?
If we no, I can't do in a few years. Okay. That's I don't have a crystal ball. And Reverend, you should know that witchcraft is frowned upon. so I can't look into my crystal ball. But I can tell you again, Luke Bowden, Matt Pickens, Schaefer can play.
Nanchoff,
Damian Lowe can play. Yeah. Joe Cole would run some midfields.
Mm-hmm.
Vingard, maybe. Deshaun Brown could definitely. We do have a pretty decently strong MLS roster. I think top tier talent, Marcel Schaefer is DP quality. Joe Cole is DP quality. And then I think the rest, the previously named players are, you know, your normal MLS rank there.
Yeah, don't forget, Deshaun Brown had an offer on the table from MLS to go to Colorado and instead chose to come here, partly for family reasons. Wife and child live in Florida. And, you know, partly for who knows what other reasons. But, ooh, and the Lightning win. Congrats, Lightning. Very nice. Yeah, you know, Schaefer, you know, if the stories are true, will not be here in 2 years because his contract's 2 years and he's supposed to go back to Wolfsburg. But talent-wise right now, I definitely think he could play. He was one who was angling for a move to possibly Atlanta in the offseason to begin with. So, yeah, there's a core there that could get the job done, I think. I just want us to get Antonella back if we go to MLS.
Sorry, I got very distracted there.
Is it one of those distractions you can't talk about in the air?
I was fangirling because I was tweeting.
Yeah. I can imagine. Oh, goodness. Then his next question, Brev Ty with a follow-up. How can we get Neil Collins to take over for Sudol? Maybe mic him up during a game. That last part, like, you know, like the NFL does that, and I think NBA's done that before sometimes too, where they mic up some of the guys and use the audio. I would love to hear some of that from a in-game audio from a player.
Especially
Neil Collins.
Yeah, we might have to subtitle it, but him, I think, let's see, Neil Collins, Joe Cole, I would love to have mic'd up, Matt Pickens, and Georgie Ristoff, because Georgie is great for a yellow for descent. Those are the guys I would love to mic up through a year.
Yeah, I want to know how to curse in Bulgarian.
I have a roommate that might be able to help you with that.
I know.
And sorry, I got distracted because Eliza Schlesinger favorited one of my tweets, and I was too busy fangirling.
That can happen. That can definitely happen. All right, Ty with a third question. This is the one I did a little bit of research on, and it's I've given this answer before to something, but I'll put it out there again. You are given the keys to the Rowdies marketing. What is your big splash to build support in the area?
Ooh,
I like this question.
Let's see. You go first while I think about this.
All right. I've said this a couple times. I would give every on-campus student at USF St. Pete a general admission season ticket.
That's not a bad idea.
That I went and did the numbers. There's three different residence halls. We're really two residence halls, and they have overflow. And you know where the overflow kids are staying? At the Hilton.
There's overflow kids?
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not even going to get into what that sounds like.
The numbers add up to like 540-something on campus in the two dorms they have. And then anything over that, they actually get to live at the Hilton.
That's pretty awesome.
So there's unspecified numbers from that. But, I mean, there's a group, and I'm going to get very hyper-local talking about the area. There's a group that you put them in the stands. They're there on a Saturday night. They're looking for something fun to do. It's cheap. They have a free ticket. They get in there, maybe buy a couple beers or whatever. But the contribution to the atmosphere, just the overall demographic, like that's a good group. That's your demographic anyway. They can stop there. It's in walking distance, especially if you're at the Hilton. That's the first thing I do.
I would, I had this, we were talking, we spoke last week about how the Rev Ty and mentioned about trying to get Hedman to a game because he loves soccer, blah, blah, blah. I wish one of my things I would be doing would be getting a Victor Hedman, an Alex Killorn, and Nikita Kucherov, even if he doesn't like soccer. Just some of your bigger players there that the area knows, especially across the bay, and get them on board. One of the things, like, have Victor Hedman saying, like, I support Team Tampa Bay, MLS to St. Pete, or I support Team Tampa Bay, let's go Rowdies, and then just blast that out there. It sounds simple, but I think you could reach a different market, especially across the bay. And the Lightning have a big reach. So if you can get a little bit of help from the Lightning, it would go a long way.
Yeah, kind of tie into that. Now that you've got a Schaefer coming over, who is a big hockey fan, do like an exchange student kind of day where Hedman comes here, practices with the club, does everything here. Schaefer gets to go to Lightning practice and do that there. And they kind of turn that into a...
Can we trade Schaefer for Neil Collins? Because I want to see Neil Collins ice skate.
That'd be awesome. I love his dad's watching me ice skate.
He is my 2007. I'm calling it now. Neil Collins is my 2017 favorite Rowdies player because he's just jolly and wonderful and cracks me up on Twitter. If you're not following him, what's his Twitter handle? Like Neely Collins.
Yeah, like at Neely Collins. Is there like a number in there somewhere?
It's almost it's like I have Neely Collins 3.
Yeah. So and that's Neely with two Collins. L's. Yeah, two L's. Don't make the mistake Rev Ty did. and throw the one L in there because then you'll take an L. All right, DePinto at DePinto. Can we pull an NBA cat watch and find out which Rowdies have cats? This is an issue near and dear to my heart. Which Rowdies do you think have multiple cats?
Multiple cats? I'm going through. I feel like Alex Moreau might.
Like, who goes home and has the giant, like, cat scratching post tower thing in the corner that's, like, 6 feet tall for, like, three cats to sleep in?
I feel like that's Alex Moreau.
I could see that. I could almost see Neil with cats, too.
He's got, like, kids and stuff. Like, doesn't he have a buttload of kids? Or is it just the twins?
I think it's just the twins. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's enough. You don't want cats if you have twins.
But that could be some halftime video material for the club to do this year. Like, what are your pets? Something like
Nico
that.
Nico Campbell looks like he might have a kid. Or a kid, a cat.
But it has to be, like, a really small one.
Yeah, like a little, and hairless.
Yeah. Oh, a friend of mine's got one of those hairless cats. They are the freakiest things in the world. They are terrible. Nightmare fuel. All right, scrolling up some more here. Let's see. I'm going through. Okay. Rev Ty again. Any significance to Schaefer signing for 2 years, citing help team off the field, almost like he's there to get MLS interest? I don't know if it's necessarily specifically MLS. I know he's trying to get into what coaching and administration or something like that.
Not coaching, front office front administration office kind of stuff.
So maybe it's something there, but also I hope it's maybe some part of a plan to spread the Rowdy's name more around in other European countries besides England. Like I was just reading the latest Howler magazine last week, and there was an article in there about Bayer Leverkusen, one of the Florida Cup teams that came over, and how, you know, a lot of people, especially soccer fans in America, kind of gravitate towards the Premier League because that's, you know, the so-called greatest league in the world. And really what American soccer should kind of be idolizing is German soccer, where, you know, lower ticket prices, there's 51% of the team is fan owned or something like that. It's more of the working class, like representing the city. Season tickets are, you know, 150 euro or something like that. They play kind of, younger teams. You're starting to see a lot more American players get in there. I know Pulisic has been the big one so far. He scored again today for Dortmund. That's more of the model that U.S. soccer, at least club soccer, should be modeling itself after in order to grow and attract support and eventually hopefully contribute to the quality of the national team. So hopefully that's, you know, at least involved in that somehow.
Yeah. Why am I? Are we going to have audio issues now?
I hope not.
I'm echoing back. Okay, well, there it goes.
We're right here at the end of the question, so we'll power through it.
Yeah, we're good now. I don't even remember what the question was.
Is there any significance to Schaefer's 2-year contract?
I don't think so. I think I don't know if we sign, like, Rowdy's sign anybody more than 2 years without it, and then usually they do like a team option after that. Yeah. I don't remember anything longer term than that. So that might be like club standard. I mean, I think in 2 years, if he doesn't get hurt or anything, he might be able to play a season or two in MLS or whatever.
Right.
I just think it's up to him and his health and the team. I don't recall anything much longer than 2-year deals.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, it's not often that the contract info gets out there. We kind of hear at the end of the season whose contract is up and things like that. But usually not, when the contract is signed. All right, one, you already kind of answered, but I'm going to make you do it on the air again. Who is the Nikita Kucherov of the Rowdies?
No, you can't do that. Nikita Kucherov is some, Russian god of a player that has all of my admiration. And I don't know if you can compare him with the Rowdies yet. If I had to, I would say, if I had to do this comparison, you have to set up a Nikita Kucherov, you have to set up a Steven Stamkos. And I think that Joe Cole would be our Steven Stamkos, to where there's billboards and the name recognition and blah, 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 blah. I think it too had. So therefore, the unsung hero, like the second line hero from there, for me this season, this coming season, would have to be Deshaun Brown.
Okay. That's it for the questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was fun. We need to do that more often, and people need to keep putting them in.
Don't go there.
The questions, just keep tweeting us the questions.
All right, anything else we need to say on air tonight?
I don't think so. That was fun.
That was good. I know, we like that. That's good. It's a good episode every now and then, do something like that.
Yeah, we need to.
And then eventually we'll progress into live callers. Although, I don't know if you heard it today. Were you listening to Garabo?
Little bits here and there.
The all-time greatest, and I don't care what anyone says, the all-time greatest caller to any talk radio show happened today on Drew Garabo Live.
I actually got in my truck right after that happened, and I need to listen to that featured clip of the day.
Yeah, just go back. It is because it starts out like she calls in to answer like the I think it's the It's Okay, It's Not Okay. And then by the end, like at one point Kushner compares it to like she's like an onion where they keep peeling back layers and there's something else. And it is, except every layer is completely different from the one before. It's like playing a game of telephone except with a person, because what you start out talking to her at has absolutely nothing to do with what you end up talking to her, what she's talking about at the end. It's insane.
Sounds about right. I'll check that out.
Like, as soon as you're done with this, like, go listen to that. It's, you know, I don't know, probably, you know, 15 minutes or so, but it's amazing. I'm going to go rewind and watch the Americans. That's my favorite show. I love that show.
I was watching Jim Jefferies Legit on Netflix, and that might be one of the funniest things I've ever watched.
Is that like a show or just a drama, like a stand-up special? Or
No. It's a show. It was a two-season show on FX and then FXX or whatever, and right. It is raunchy. If you don't have a dirty sense of humor, you probably won't. My recommendation is like watching Jim Jefferies special on Netflix. And if you can handle that, you can handle the show, because I think there's so many of his stand-up jokes worked into the show.
Right.
But it is absolutely hilarious. Like, he's living with a dude, and then they like break his brother who has muscular dystrophy out of the home that they take him to a brothel because he's a virgin. And that's just the first episode, and it's just all downhill after that. It is absolutely, like, I watched 26 episodes in 2 days, and I was just the greatest thing I've ever, like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, well, I got a week off coming up. I'll have to check it out.
Do it.
So coming up next, we'll be back next week. Do we want to make our Wednesday move starting next week?
May as well.
I mean, it's kind of going to be that way. When does your new soccer league start, by the way?
The end of the month. What is okay. The last one? The 28th.
So we could still like record Tuesdays for now and then post them out on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I mean, we could record Monday. We could record Tuesday before or after my soccer game. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't have a schedule yet or anything. I'm playing with Ralph's mom. Well, parts of Ralph's mom. So it's soccer related.
Yeah.
Soccer related soccer.
That could be a segment.
Yeah.
There'll be some subplots coming out of there, I'm sure. Anyway, we will be back. I think, you know, kind of tune in on Wednesdays, I think. And once we go back live and they get everything sorted out, it'll be Wednesday nights, probably around the same time period, 7:30, 8, something like that. Thank you guys for tuning in. Daniel, I will see you this Saturday, correct?
You shall, indeed.
I'm excited. We're going to have fun. Did you get my message about Sunday?
No.
All right, after we go off air, I'll talk to you about it. There's been some developments. It could be interesting. Anyway, we'll be back. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys who sent us questions. Thank you guys who are awesome and send us money via Patreon every month. That is super cool. I went ahead and invested some of it in a very nice external – it was a really good deal too – external mic for my phone, since we do a lot of the post-game stuff with that. So whether we use it for the coach interviews or whether we use it for – we talked about that video thing. We'll have a nice little setup. It even has this like one of those windscreen things for it, which it's got like the foam ball, but it's got this like rabbit pelt on the outside of it. So it looks like it's I'm trying to think, what was that? There was an actress. She said like, remember the Stop the Insanity thing? The infomercials?
Yeah.
It looks like her hair. No, I know what I'm thinking of. Kurt Warner's wife. Because she resembled the Stop the Insanity one. It's that hair. It's that hair, like around the foam ball is like the windscreen.
Oh, okay.
It's really interesting. But we'll have it out there for games and do stuff. We'll be back next week, and we'll do our first like preseason preview, like looking ahead to. We skipped a question.
Oh no, we failed.
It's a good one too. Why are the Orlando supporters being seated almost outside the stadium?
That doesn't even require an answer
from Carlos. who should pay attention in history class because I'm a history teacher and I say so, and I know he has history class.
Like young Carlos?
Yeah, young Carlos wants to know why. The answer is right there, as many answers often are, inside the question itself, because they're Orlando supporters. They're going to pretty much end up there to begin with, so let's just cut the middleman out, which I think is what Ref Ty responded to him with, basically.
So I'm scrolling through the Rowdies roster right now, and they give you social media stuff. And they got me excited because they give you a link to Martin Vingard's Instagram. He doesn't seem to have an Instagram, or the link is broken. Then it has Neil Collins' Instagram, and he's private. So why would you link it? Let's see. Luke Bowden. Oh, his works.
Yeah.
Damian Lowe. Of course, Tam doesn't have any. And Damian Lowe's works.
Oh, yeah. Lowe's all over Instagram. He's a good one.
Zach Portillo's. But, yep, oh, nope, his is private as well. Why would you list them if they're private?
He's on Twitter, too, still, right?
Yeah, his Twitter account's linked. Chavo's is private. Guys, just take these Instagram links down if they're private. Leo Fernandez, or they don't work. Leo Fernandez, Darwin Jones, his works. Alex Morell's works. Nano. My computer decided to stop working. Nano's work. Did you see that video from Top Golf with Nano? And I think it was Bowden.
Like just a moment of it.
Of Bowden tapping, playing keepy uppy with the golf ball, and then tapping it to Nano, who just drives it
off. Yeah, yeah, and that was going back to how seriously Jacksonville's website apparently took the game. I'll take my cue from our guys who went and had a good time at Top Golf.
Yeah. Yep.
And
so
I need to do that sometime too.
Oh wait, now Martin Vingard's is working. Good.
Wait, he's somehow. Oh, you know what? I have a microwave nearby. He must be listening through.
On that note, let's sign off.
All right, guys. Thank you to Shamrock. Thank you to Wolfface. Thank you to Radio St. Pete. Thank you to the Beautiful Game Network. Thank you to you guys. Thank you to the Rowdies. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Thank everybody. I am a happy person.
All right. This has been fun. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.
Peace.